Visit with Ann Lyle, March 17, 2001. Others present are Nancy Kuhn, Al, and Ruth George. We are meeting at the George residence at 512 Herning Road.
Okay, there we go.
So, anyway.
Now we're talking about Bruce Dimple.
Yeah, so tell us the story about
them. They live somewhere out on Farmers Loop Road, and the road wasn't very good at that point, and it kind of had a point in the spring where it got real muddy,
yeah.
And so then you had to leave your car there to get stuck, and so then he'd get out his little tractor and come out and tow people out, you know, for a buck or two, I guess, and it got to be quite a, you know, joke about it, because then he said when the weather started drying out, then he'd get out the hose and he'd run the water down, and people got stuck, so they still have to come and get pulled out.
That sounds like Bert.
So what end of the road was he on?
I'm not sure where it was, but somewhere. It was before they moved out on the hill there,
mm-hmm.
where
on the Steelbrook.
My memory of names is.
Don't feel bad.
So it was previous to Steel Creek.
Yeah.
Really. Huh. So we've got a lot of questions to ask Henry. I think he'll know a lot about Bert. But I could write Bert a letter and ask him too. Yeah. But no, I've never found out. We've talked to Don. We've talked to Maddie. We've talked to Beatrice. But I've never found out, when did your family come up here and in what order?
Well, I think. Let me think.
Oh, just a minute. I got to ask because I don't know. What's your maiden name?
Herning.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
How are you related to Harold?
Sister.
Oh. All right. So now.
This is the youngest one.
Okay. You're the baby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when did you come up?
I think Harold and maybe it was Harold and. The Earl was already married and gone away from home. And so it was Harold and Carl came up first. Years and years ago, when my dad was a young man, he went to San Francisco to visit some relatives, and he got what you call Shanghai and put on one of those whaling ships. And so then he was stuck for a year or so. But they came to the Alaskan waters, and he and this fellow had heard about the gold rush, so they decided they wanted to get in on it. So they took the little John boat, whatever it was, and sneaked out and went ashore. And I guess they had this sea captain that was quite a bugger, you know, and he went hunting for them, but they'd made the mistake of setting up a little tent, and they spotted the tent. So they got him back. That was in probably the 1900, somewhere around. They're real early.
Must have been.
So your dad must have been a young
man. But he always wanted to go back, and he talked about Alaska and how fascinating. So then the boys decided, since there was a depression on and stuff, that they'd just go to Alaska to make their fortune or whatever.
So was your dad alive when you all came up here?
No, he died when I was a year old.
Oh, okay.
He died in 1933.
You know, I've never heard anything of him, so I assume that was the case.
His name was Guy.
Guy. So that's a tie up here with Guy, her nephew.
Okay.
Grandson?
Yeah. And so your mother lived, though, to see all your children go to?
Well, the boys all eventually, one by one, came up. Bill wasn't here. He'd married and was in Lewiston then.
Lewiston,
the three of us, mother just got this bug in her ear because of the Japanese supposed to come into the Seattle area and blah, 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 that she wanted to get with the boys. She was really like to be around her kids. So that was 1940s. And so she just sold the house we had and put us all on the train, and we came to Alaska. Flew from Whitehorse up here.
So was your family Seattleites?
No, that we were in Lewiston, Clarkston, Washington, Lewiston, Idaho area on the Snake River there.
So that's
where
we were
at that time.
At that time.
Uh-huh.
Where your family?
Well, my dad worked for the railroad, and they kind of moved around
with
from Ronan to Grangeville, Idaho, to Indian Reservation, Lapway. They lived that's where my sister Dorothy was born. And then we came to Alaska then in 1943.
Okay, you and
but
mother
she,
and Dorothy?
Just wondered about it, because here they were, the Aleutian chains had the Japanese out there attacking. Oh, boy, Carl, they were all really upset because they built this house, you know, and after her dad died, the boys finished it.
They're in
Idaho. Then she
goes
off and sells it and follows them right to Alaska. But She lived for 5 years after we got here, so.
So what year did you get here, do you think?
43. July 17th. Ah. We came on the train up through Canada to Edmonton and White Horse, I think. We flew from White Horse to Fairbanks then on, like, Northern Consolidated Airline mm-hmm. or something. It was a small little airplane.
And what, you know, people came across the prairie, brought everything. Did you just kind of leave everything?
She left everything.
So you just had
she
the clothes on
left everything
your
we had. I mean, we had a little suitcase and, one trunk, which Maddie still has, but she's stuffed full of treasures.
Good heavens.
I remember my brother Earl was working out in Spokane, and we kind of had hand-me-down because of the fact that all the boys were, everybody was chipping in whatever the little work they could get.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came back from Alaska, and he went and he bought me dress for every day of the week. First time I'd ever had anything but a hand-down. And so we got ready to leave, and Mother wouldn't let me bring them one of them. She said, "You're outgrowing them anyway. We'll leave them for this other little girl that was buying the house. They had a little girl." How pretty.
Yeah. Boy, you remember that.
And my sister had a Shirley Temple doll, and she wouldn't let me touch it. I mean, it was gorgeous. She had one thing, and I've never had a doll. Like probably a, what you call a rag doll, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted that doll so bad, and Mother said, "No, we can't take that. We'll just leave it for this little girl."
Oh, that would hurt.
But Mom, I'll carry it all the way. "No, you can't take that. We're not taking that stuff." And all our pictures and everything. She just was willing to grab her long underwear and go.
My sakes. Yeah. And when you left all this behind, did you ever go back and get any of it?
Well, years later, my brother Bill was living in Spokane. He got a call from the people and said, "The stuff is still up in the attic that your mother left, and we're going to clean it out." Finally, they were going to do something with the upstairs of the house. And, "Do you want it?" So he went, and he got the Bible, the old family Bible. And here's all these pictures, collections of arrowheads.
And he didn't get those?
He didn't take anything but that Bible. Never told anybody else about it. No. Years later, then he finally came back to Alaska.
Oh, geez.
So you came up here. Where'd you live? Your mother and you and
well, we moved in with Beecher's and Harold for a while.
How
we lived another. There was a family there, and she'd gone to Seattle, and he was out mining, so we were able to live there for a while.
But Beatrice and Harold had the house in town at
well,
that time,
yet.
Right?
They were just renting a little cabin.
Well, okay.
And Harold was working over at the airlines. He was working at Northern Consolidated or something. And at times he was working in McKinley Park, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he started. And then they worked, Carl worked out in Gulfstream on the dredge, and, you know, they just found work that they could. There was kind of a depression on in Fairbanks, too. And because of the war scare, I mean, there was streets with just empty houses everywhere. But then, of course, they left them, locked them up, and there was no way you could, you know, live in them because they belonged to somebody else that had left town and coming back after it was safe. And here we were coming to town, which was crazy.
I think it's interesting you say that one of your brothers worked on the gold dredge. Gulfstream.
That was going big and strong. Yeah.
Oh, probably at this end. Where we still have Gold Ridge 8, right? Which is now John Reeves owns it?
That was brought in there just especially from, they brought that dredge from somewhere else. There was a great big dredge in there. And I'm not sure anything. What they do with the big one? If they took it, they took one up over the hill and back into, was it Gnome Creek or they moved one. And then there was a little one up by the who's the discoverer?
Pedro.
Up that creek there was a little small dredge up there. But they moved them around. They take them apart and take a bunch of cats. I remember one time they moved one from Goldstream right up over that hill.
Yeah,
I think it went into Fairbanks or Fish Creek, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever strike it rich?
And then Don came up with, he was the last one. My youngest brother was the last one to come up. That thing, that was the thing that did it, because we had a little, we had a couple acres, which I was a kid, it seemed like 10 acres, but we had a garden, and we at one time had a cow, and we had lots of chickens.
And this was
in Clarkston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when Don left, that kind of took our main helper away.
Go where the boys
are. We decided to, Mom, I always wanted to go to Alaska. She did. She loved it up here. She really liked it.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you must have been a young girl if you...
I was 11.
You were 11?
Dorothy was 16, and of course my mother was 50.
So, let's see, Harold built a house on 9th, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
so, was it
yeah.
close to that that they built the house for your mother? Because somebody said
yeah, it was
did.
Just up the street, right there on Cowell Street. Mm-hmm. There's a little small house there.
Is
they
it still
built
there?
A garage in the yard now, so it takes up, we had a big garden there a long time. But we lived, you've seen that road down there, Springbed?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. seen that road, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, then Springbed's had the cabin they lived in, they built this nice house, so... As soon as the renters moved out of that, they had a couple in there, and then we moved in there for the winter. And then the next year, they built the little house, so we moved over there. So I was, when I was a freshman in high school, we lived on 9th there.
9th and 10th.
But that old cabin was really interesting. It was really old, and you know how the cabins are,
mm-hmm.
this part here. Then there's another little piece added, then there's another piece.
Yeah.
Here's a piece, and it was like 5 pieces, and the floor went like this.
Uh-huh.
And they had the walls calcimined over airplane cloth.
Huh,
and
that's a new one. I hadn't heard that.
Of course, I guess there was some moss back there, too.
And that house is still there?
No, they finally tore it down.
Because I was going to say, I was moving back from 6th, and I got to 7th, and thought, gosh, I can't place a little...
Mm-hmm.
The house that Jack built type thing.
Okay, now what house is still there, though? You say there's one where they built the garage.
Oh, okay. Now, that was the house that the guys built from other.
Oh.
It's all right on the corner of 9th and Cowell.
9th and Cowell. Okay, we'll have to...
When you're driving towards Shopper's Farm, it's on the left, and it's
mm-hmm.
got white with green trim. It's kind of shabby looking right now. There was a lady that was a music director at the university that lived there for years and years. I don't know what was her name. She was a teacher out there.
Well, I have to go look for this house. It can't be too far from the house that's the double house and that has the boat. Somebody said that there's a building right on the corner, and they said that was used to be down on the river, and they drug it up here, and it was a boathouse.
Uh-huh.
Part of a boat, huh? That's what
well,
made
no,
it?
It's the garage for the boat. There's a special word for these things that sit on the water. And
mm-hmm.
Is that what's in that big garage down there? Maybe that
greenish.
If there's a boat inside of it, it looks like a big two-story garage.
But it looks like a big old building. Where you would bring your boat in at night.
Boathouse, I think, is the word. You
uh-huh. As opposed to a houseboat.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Boathouse.
Mm-hmm. Right across on the other side of 9th and Cowell's, there's a big old dilapidated barn. That's been there for ever. That's really old. George Clayton.
Yeah.
He used to keep old cars. They got these old cars in it.
Okay.
And it's still there, and I don't know what's in it now,
Cross
but it's painted green, I
from
think.
From 9th, you're saying?
Uh-huh.
From 9th?
Yeah.
And it's on the east.
Well, no.
Yeah, it'd be on
well.
The side of Cal.
Okay, that's
that
the
little,
one that I thought was the boat.
The little house that was ours, it's got corner windows facing the street, and it's got, windows on the corner.
We'll have to go.
Oh, now which side of Cal?
Well,
you were on the west side
ago,
of Cal?
That was a... what do you call it, a stable where they had horses and
mm-hmm.
stuff? But I think that's what maybe the old barn that George had was part of that place, because when they were digging it up, they found bones and horse shoes and stuff when they were digging the basement for them. And it was right along that slough. There was an active slough there running right through town at that time.
So. Gee, you're coming
and then
here
you went
child.
Right, you had Weeks Field, and then it was prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl and I used to go rabbit hunting. We'd go across Weeks Field, and you're right out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out there in the wintertime and he'd hunt rabbits.
Did you ever snare rabbits?
Well, I don't know. We just shot them with 20. He shot them with a 22. There's many of them. There's still a lot of them out there. Oh, you know. Yeah. You get out on Van Horn Road in the summertime, you see them running all over the place. But anyway.
So a young girl of 11 years old, you must have been, there must not have been a lot of young girls.
Well, Spring Betts had a young girl, Dorothy, and so her and
I realized that Spring Betts.
Oh, there was a lot of kids
the,
in town.
Dom married a Spring Bet.
Okay, I guess I heard
her. Her name was Dorothy, too. And she was 2 years older than me, but we had a lot of fun together.
Okay.
And then Weems lived across the road, and they had a daughter named Jean. And she was my age.
Who was this?
Jean Weems.
Oh,
no,
Weems.
Noel Weems, that one.
Right. And this is all downtown,
Behind, yeah.
Fairbanks must have been a pretty small
town. Well, the first time we came to Fairbanks, it was just beautiful. It was the 17th of July, and it was a beautiful summer. And of course, where we came from was hot, and it was just wilting you. And here was this pretty little town with leaves. And so I think we got in on like a Thursday, and along come Saturday, Noel Wien called Harold up and said, let's go blueberry picking. So we all piled in their car. And I can't remember if they took two cars, I think. We had some sort of a, and we went out to the Clary Summit, and there had been a fire through there years before that, and we got up on the side of that, and you wouldn't believe, I don't think I've ever seen blueberries like that since, maybe one or two times, but it was covered with blueberries, just thick, and we had a ball picking berries.
And what did you do with the berries?
We made pies, and Beatrice and all of them got together and made jam and jelly and probably at that time we canned them. We didn't have any freezers.
Well, so I was thinking
like that. But that was so much fun.
Well, that would have looked like a paradise compared to dry old Idaho and Eastern Oregon. Yeah.
Richard Ween was just a little, kind of a little kid then. He was probably 6 or 7, probably. Cute little boy.
So all your family was already up here, so you guys must have had wonderful family get-togethers.
Uh-huh.
How many of them, let's see, who lived in town and who lived out, who had already moved out here by the time?
No one. See, Carl, when the boys went in the military then, and then he decided he wanted some land, and so he picked that spot down there. And so after he came back from his military, he was in Nevada, is where they said. When he came back, then we started going out and clearing brush. And
I guess I don't know where this is. I'm too new.
That'd be where down at 5 Mile.
Okay.
Oh, you don't
Country Kids Lane.
You don't? Yeah, Country Kids Lane. You don't know where Maddie Lee lives?
There's 160 acres there that Maddie Lee Herning still has.
Oh, heavens. We'll have to go driving some driveways and we can
Country
go and visit.
Country Club Lane.
Of course, there was no way to clear land except by hand, so he handed us all a hatchet and said, get to work. And we cleared that one field. But he did finally get a cat to come in and clear some, place for the house. Mm-hmm. We helped him build a log house. Mother.
Did you live
had.
On that place
then,
after your mother died? Did you live with Carl?
Yeah, and then he got the bus contract for taking kids to school because, I lived in 1 year, I lived with 5 different people in 1 year. Finally, he got the contract, so then I moved out with him until I got married.
And Dorothy lived there for a while, too?
Well, Dorothy and Walter started building their house, but Harold had built the other house by then, the one you're thinking of. And so then her and Walter rented the basement, and then Beatrice.
In town.
Uh-huh, and Harold were upstairs and up. And then Harold went to McKinley Park to build some stuff. So, after Mother died, Bill and Mary came up, and then they lived in the house, and I stayed with them that summer because she had, until she had Suzanne. And then I went out and I lived on the homestead, but then it was winter and Carl couldn't take me to school, so then I came back in and lived in the basement and upstairs with Beatrice in the
house. Sounds like that house. You all lived in it at one time or another. what a wonderful thing to
then
have.
Then I moved the summer. Next summer, then I moved out on the we all moved out on the homestead and lived out there.
And what summer would that have been?
That would have been 46.
Okay, the war was finally not over, but almost over by then.
And how many people, how many of the boys were back? I mean,
well, then by then, Bill had moved back. Bill kept moving back, and then Mary wasn't happy, so he'd move out. Mm-hmm. And then he moved back because he couldn't get work enough in Spokane to make much money, or even in the Lewiston there.
Was he in the military, too?
He never
went in.
No, he was married and they had a baby by then. And then Earl he joined up, and he ended up in Hawaii right after Pearl Harbor. And then his wife came up, Julie, came up for a while, and they homesteaded over on Hopper Creek.
Yeah, where donkeys are now?
Well, it was the other side of the road.
Oh, no, the other side of the road. Sure. I knew that.
But we did have some get-togethers because at Christmas and Thanksgiving, Maddie must have boxes of pictures because she was the picture taker.
Mm-hmm.
All these little kids.
Could you give me tell me, because I don't have all this in my head here. You're the baby, but who's the oldest, and come on down, what
well,
are your ages?
My brother Earl.
Okay.
He was 21 when I was born, so I was he was already gone from home. And Carl and Harold and Bill, who lives over on Steese Highway, and that's Guy's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dawn, and then my sister Dorothy, and then me.
Okay. Yeah, I had no idea.
And then
my
sister married Walter Eberhard. Mm-hmm. So then David is my nephew.
And David and Guy must be double cousins, aren't they?
Cousins, yeah. Double cousins.
Because Mary is Walter's sister. Mary,
Bill's
wife
is
Walter's sister.
Walter
Eberhard. Yeah, you need a family tree to keep
one
us all
year
straight.
I was in the second year of high school, and they went outside and they brought Brother Colby back, and he was kind of a handsome guy and real flirty and everything, and I thought, no way.
No more double cousins.
So he married Dodie.
He's the one that was over where donkeys are.
Dodie.
Yeah.
Colby.
Right.
I thought, that's too much.
In fact, that's something that I wanted to ask you about. You and Dorothy, and who else laid that phone line, that landline
across
there?
Oh, well, that was George and Walter, and we all worked on that. We put a little phone line system by running. George happened to have gotten a hold of some old wire from Fort Wainwright somehow or other that was dumped or something. So we strung it around, nailed it to the trees.
Well, do you know a piece of that is still down there across one of across our 40 line, actually, is where it is.
Yeah, ran clear down to Nordale Road and
only Nordale wasn't there.
Yeah, clear crossed over to Donkeys.
Did it go over to Earl's?
I think it might have. It
would have to go over the road.
Yeah, we went. We got through the culvert or something. There.
Was there a culvert at that time? Is that road?
Whomp.
Yeah.
I was thinking the other night about the one when I lived with the summer that after Mother died and I lived at Carl's. These guys came out from the university and they were looking for land. So I was trying to figure out, when the roads were fixed. Well, it was just a clearing then. It was just they finally got
Hot Springs Road here.
Yeah, but I think down to Tilly and Hanks. And then from then on, it was just like a walking trail, and it was.
Well,
these guys wanted me to take them over to the other hill over there.
Mm-hmm.
So Carl says, "Oh, she'll take you over and show you." Man, we were up to our, up to our hips in this water, and the mosquitoes were just terrible. These guys were.
Okay,
we thought that was terrible.
About
I said, we don't want this place.
The Hot Springs Road. Did you were coming in by Steel Creek at that time, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When did the Hot Springs Road
off
of Steese?
Let's see, when we first started coming out here, the road only went to just the top of Gilmore Trail there. That was the end of it. And it was just a trail
Steel Creek Road?
Yeah, and it just went there. And then the Fitzes, and they had a little trail that went on over to where Bert Stimple lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of it.
Hmm.
And then it was just kind of a trail. Let me think, were Funks in there? Yeah, Funks finally came in, and they put the trail on a little farther. So it was just kind of a wood trail is what it was. Mm-hmm. And then we branched off from where Funks went over the hill there and down around and just walk. So we'd leave the car right at Fitz's yard, and then we'd walk from there with backpacks.
Ooh, that's a good long walk.
And then they finally started clearing the other because of they wanted to put a site out there for the military in Gettinger's Field. That's why they cleared that.
And did it take off there at 4 Mile, where it does now?
Yeah, it came where it is now.
Okay.
So they just followed
because Cora said they did, and maybe they earlier, that they came in around the cemetery hill, Birch Hill.
No.
Okay.
Well, there was a trail around there, and it was called. There was a homestead there called Lazelle's, and they grew hay and stuff for horses and stuff. And then there was a trail that came. They call it. That's why they call it Lazelle Road. And then when they went to Chena Hot Springs, they had a winter horse and buggy trail that took people on up there to up there, and that's where they came in. That Lazelle Road, right down along the bottom of the hill, and. But it was just a winter trail.
Well, we've got a map, and you can show us on that. And in fact, the trail may show.
Yeah. This trail that used to go by your place was a wood road where they came in. They came in all these places and cleared off the hills and took the wood to burn in the NC place.
So all these hills have been clear cut?
Well, pretty well. A lot of them just stripped off. Something happened over there by Love Road, because we moved in, there wasn't any trees on that at all, just saplings. And you know, up there by where Funks were, it looked like a meteorite had hit, and I often wondered if it just burned everything off. Maybe it was just a forest fire.
You say where Funks were, was that where Maranatha was later?
Well, where Bryce's lived.
Yeah,
that
right.
Was And they built their house right in that hole where a meteor is.
Oh, they had an excavation ready made. Speaking of Funks, Julie said that she had heard that Funks at one time had filed on the property they ended up with later. Did you ever heard of that?
Julie who?
Julie Wood.
Oh.
Over on Steel Creek.
Gosh, I don't know. I've never heard anything about that. I know they filed down here in Steel Creek after they sold that place and went.
Well, did they file it on our 53 map? That shows that as belonging to Lundquist.
Down there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, they must have sold it by then. Well, it was after that.
Well, all these land things are.
Was that Dr. Lundquist, maybe?
I assume so, but it doesn't say. No, I don't know.
Now, we've got an old map over there that's really old. We put plastic over it. I'll have to go look and see what that showed.
That may be the same one we have. We'll see.
It's an old moth. It shows all the gold mines and stuff.
Oh, well, no, we don't have gold mines on ours.
No, mineral land they show, but not gold mines. So were George and Walter both GIs?
Well, Walter had got out when he came up. Let me think. He came up in 46, I think it was.
So
he came
right
up
after the war.
We kind of followed Dorothy up here because when we were down there, he and her had met and were friends. So when we took off and came to Alaska, then as soon as he got back from his military service, then he came up and he got a job out at working out at Eielson, making the runway and
Oh, so he was an Idahoan or an Oregonian or whatever too, huh? They met before you came up.
He rented a place from, let me think, down on the South Bluff over on Chena Ridge Road. What's the name of those people that have a, let me think, what was her name? Anyway, she...
Brooke Sharp?
No, it's... Oh, I hadn't thought of them for so
long.
Well,
maybe it'll come to you as we think.
When you go down Chena Pump Road and then you start up the hill, there's Vanilla Davis.
Eddie Davis.
Eddie Davis, so he rented a room and stayed there with them and worked out there.
So did George come up here as a
GI? Well, he was stationed out at Fort Wainwright.
Yeah.
And so then wanted a piece of land, and he and his buddies walked across and came from right from the base across this old trail. So came up here.
So he and Walter were quite independent of each other as far as selecting the land?
Dorothy had this friend that liked her real well, and so he filed on that homestead. And when he went outside to get out of his military service, he came back, and here was Walter in the driver's seat. So he relinquished his homestead to Walter, so that's how he got that one. And then they got married in 48. After Mother died.
So this was all veteran preference homesites?
Yeah, you could, but then George lingered so long over getting anything going that we had to clear the 20 acres then and try to plant something, which was a lot.
What'd you plant?
Oats and barley and stuff, but then, you know, the soil hadn't really been plowed right.
You remember, you only had to plant it, you didn't have to harvest
it. Right.
That was very important.
But the man that was in charge of that was awful nice. He really understood, because we did a lot of this, you know, a lot of it by hand and tried to build a house. Mm. Nobody had much money.
That's right. Everybody was poor from the Depression.
Yeah. Well, I mean, thing like George finally got a job. He went outside and got all of his junk and came back with his old model, Zero truck or something. Hauled all this stuff up here like he was going to China.
Where was
start a little tar paper shack over there. He was from California.
Okay,
little place called Raymond, which is near Madera.
Mm-hmm.
That's where his mother lived. Raymond was an old.
Well, that was a question I had.
The gold rush days.
So you had some kind of he had some kind of a building before you built your basement?
Yeah, he and a couple of friends of his had come out and they built this little shack. I think it was 10 by 20 or something. It was very big.
So
I jumped right out of the fire into the furnace.
I guess. So you lived in that for a while?
Yeah, first year. And we started the concrete block basement there. By then we'd gotten Andy Anderson they'd let out some money for people to have cat work done to help with the clearing. So I think we didn't have to pay all of it. You know, the government helped you with part of it.
And George is the man you married, right?
Mm-hmm. We were married 31 years.
And how old were you when you married?
18.
So just out of high school.
Well, I wasn't even out of high school yet. Carl kind of pushed me out. So I was still in high school, and the principal threatened to cut me off, but it was only just, you know, a few weeks till graduation, and my grades were good, so they let me graduate. And we got married, and then I went back to school, you know, and here was this little dumpy house and no wood pile. It was still cold and wintry. And
now that was from out here?
Yeah, I lived
there.
And I came home one day, and the wind had blown and knocked the stovepipe down, and the house was ice cold because it's been gone all day, and the wind was blowing like 25 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour. I sat down, what did I ever do this for? I made a mistake.
You would wonder.
He probably did the same thing.
That there must not have been a lot of young women to be available. I mean, a lot of
not
single men
out here. Not would come out and homestead, that's for sure. All my classmates thought I was crazy.
Well, as a matter of fact, what was the ratio of men to women about that time anyway?
Well, I suppose, you know, there was tons of GIs in Fairbanks. There was not very many women.
That's what I was figuring.
When we first came up, Fairbanks was just solid GIs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really interesting. Of course, the line was going strong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we were very curious about that. We used to walk down the street, and we'd walk down the street and walk around, and some GIs would be coming out that little door, and we'd look back to see what
you could see.
Little old wooden sidewalk going in there. When my friends came last summer from that I graduated with, and I had lunch for them, and we all talked about it. This Mary Ann, she had this guy that was kind of interested in her, and of course they were real friends and everything, and so she was over at Dignan's house, which was right down the street, and they were upstairs, and so they were trying to look, you know, see what was going on down there, and here her boyfriend, or this guy that she was with. She said, I never spoke to him again.
I never figured out how long the line was. Was it a very large
block?
Two blocks.
A line of houses here and a line of houses, and then one on the other street. It's
quite three lines.
Yeah. I think some of them that lived over on 4th were.
In the 40s.
Activity over there.
Mm-hmm. It started earlier than that.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, it was going full swing. Yeah. And it was ironic because the Nerlands owned it.
Mm-hmm.
Here they were, the upstanding citizens of Fairbanks that owned the furniture store.
Apparently they agreed, the town fathers agreed, that this was the lesser of the evils.
Yeah.
They got
rid
of that.
All set up nice and clean and
they could, they could control it there, but if it spread out all over town, they couldn't. So there was some rationale behind it.
And then they had a pool hall with a lot of guys spent time at, and Tilly worked, they had a laundry, it's called Bell's Laundry. When she came to Fairbanks, then that's where she got the job, was in the Bell's Laundry, and she did the girls, this other lady I used to know, they were the workers that did the laundry.
Oh.
She wasn't getting in on the other business, but she was going to have to
Well, that leads to another question. Did Tilly come up on her own and meet Henry here?
Yeah. See, she had been married before and had a daughter, Mickey, which was my sister's best girlfriend after but she lived in California, so
California.
Mickey got of age, then she got to be 16, then she came up to stay with her mother. And by then I think Tilly had married Henry. And they lived down there at that time they lived the next block up from the line, right there by the kind of along in there. It was on 3rd. There was a lot of houses in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved up the street, which was up there about 4th or 5th, up above Cushman. That little cabin is still there.
Hmm.
But then my sister was chums with Irma, and they had another girlfriend named Dorothy, and those three girls, they had more fun. They were the swingers and David's GIs, and Dorothy worked, she was out of school then by that time, which was, she was 16. Maybe she worked in the summer. Tilly and Hank bought, there was down on Cushman Street, there was a tobacco shop, and there was this little Italian guy in there, and he was a friend of Hank and Tilly, so we'd go in there and talk to him, and he was the cutest little old guy, but he had an old model A Ford, I guess it was, so he gave that to Mickey, and the girls could drive it around, and they called it Umbriago, and they'd get all dressed up and put around town in that old car. They had a lot of fun.
What brought Hank up, do you know?
I think he worked in all over Alaska. He worked in Juneau and gold mines. He worked out at Fish Creek or Fairbanks Creek for a while. He worked at the Hyu mine for a while.
Did he have some special knowledge,
training, know-how?
Machinist or carpenter or anything like that?
No, he worked at Fairbanks Lumber for a lot of time, but it was just labor work. No, he was just a laborer.
Hmm. What's Hank's last name?
Brockman.
Henry.
Okay.
Henry Brockman.
Okay.
Yeah. We all called him Hank. He was real entertainment. He'd come over to visit, and the boys would they just love to, they'd gather around and say, Hank, tell us another one of your big stories. He said, well, that puts me in mind of back when he told the kids about frozen miners along the trail that were found in the spring and just all sorts of stories. Mm-hmm. When I was down in Juneau,
the shame those were lost. Well, that's what we're trying.
Well, he's a storyteller, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, there was another line that had nothing to do with what it did do for something.
I didn't know anything about it.
To buy liquor, they would only sell you one bottle at a time.
Yeah.
And so you had to stand in line.
Uh-huh.
And some of the bartenders got smart, and they'd find off-duty waitresses.
Uh-huh.
And give them so much to stand in line for them to get their ration of liquor that day.
Uh-huh.
And then some of them would sell the liquor in the bars to and pocket it instead of going into the cash register. But
well, us girls had bicycles, and we used to bicycle all over Fairbanks. That was the biggest thing for the summer. We used to bicycle out to university. It was this old gravel road, and yeah, it was all we could do to get out there and have mm-hmm. We'd usually take a picnic sandwich mm-hmm. along. Or out to Birch Hill, riding little tiny bicycles on gravel roads.
Quite a way.
It seemed like we were gone forever.
Well, speaking of old timers, what do you know about Fred Anderson?
Well, I only know that I think he lived in Nenana for a while, and then he met Harold, and maybe Harold was building that house down there.
They just didn't know where they first got together.
Yeah, he lived in Nenana. Harold built some sort of a building down there there was a John Hall that was the city manager, and he had a son named
Dixie Hall.
Dixie, okay, John's the son.
Son, yeah.
And they got to be friends, and boy, he's one you should talk to. He knows all of Fairbanks, John Hall, and he's Ethel.
Yeah, well, I wish we'd get somebody else to do that, because I'm trying to concentrate, on this area right around here. Boy, there's so much.
But I think that's where Harold met Fred, and there was this old wood chopper's cabin over here.
Well, that was another question. We always assumed that's what it was, but we never knew. So you think it was just a temporary...
No, I think there are people lived on the hill, because Rudy and Bessie down there had that clearing down there, and they planted a garden, and she found several. She found a weaver's... some piece of weaving, a board that you
like
use
a
on
shuttle?
A weaving shuttle thing.
Mm-hmm.
I still got it.
And where did she find that?
In the garden, when she was weeding.
Down in
the garden, down there where Severns
live.
So we figured people must have lived in there.
Yeah.
And of course, then there was an old cabin there that Frank Betcher heard again.
I wanted to ask you about him,
He was the person that came after the war from, I guess, let me think, how was it? I think they were Jewish, so he sent his wife and child to Dresden, he was German anyway, and so they'd be safe, and that's where the Americans bombed by mistake, and they got killed, and he was just real upset about that, but he came to America and eventually ended up out there living in there was 5-acre one side he got. Right where the road, Nordale Road, goes.
Okay, on this side of where Nordale is, or do you know?
Well, it's right in the middle where Nordale goes, right over the house side. He had a nice view, and he had this garden. It was unbelievable. And he had cherry trees and raspberry bushes with the biggest raspberries you ever saw. Mm-hmm. And he had friends in Russia, who maybe that's where he was kind of from when he was a child.
John, I think, mentioned that he got some Siberian wheat.
Experimenting. Yeah, he just had this gorgeous garden, just beautiful.
Whatever happened.
He picked berries, and he had tame birds that I used to go over and visit him, and he had tame birds that come in and leave the door open, and the little grouse and stuff would come in, and he'd feed them.
Whatever happened to him?
He died of cancer, and I think it was after my mother died. She died in 48, so it had to have been like 49.
Well, he was still out here then, huh?
Yeah. He was still in Fairbanks. And he left the place then to Dr. Scheibel on Hagland, because he didn't have money to pay for all the hospital stuff. And Hagland sold it eventually, but it was 5 acres. when Bobby and Ray were about, let's see, we lived down at, down on the highway when George was down there working on that other pipeline thing. And then we moved back to Fairbanks in 56. We were gone a couple of years. And one time we went walking down that trail. The old cabin was, let me think. I think somebody had either burned it down or it caved in. But he had this root cellar. And so just for the heck of it, we started trying to find the door and then the stuff. And we found the door, and it was all sort of caved in. So Bobby was really skinny. So he could kind of climb down in there, and he got some jars of cranberry relish that Frank had made, and it was still good. It was just as good as, and that was like, 10 years after it was made. But it was down under the soil. He dug back in there and said, "Look, Mom, look what I found." So we took him home and ate it. But he was great for taking care of himself by canning and making things. He grew strawberries.
You said he had cherries. Choke cherries?
They were real cherries. They were
real cherries.
From Siberia. They were pretty good size.
Huh.
He had, and then people came out from the university and they dug up a lot of his stuff and took it away just out to the university.
We'll have to ask whether they still have or not.
I don't know.
About
maybe
it.
He was kind of what's called a horticulturist.
Mm-hmm.
And he grafted things. And
yeah.
It's really interesting.
Interesting to know if anybody out there now remembers it.
Yeah, we're finding out a lot of agricultural stuff that people were successful 50 years ago growing these things that today it's like we're reinventing the wheel.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, one time my sister, she was really good at her garden was over there, my son had it really nice, and she had this beautiful corn all full of ears and stuff. This lady tourist came driving in there and kind of spotted her garden and wants to know about things, and so ask her how she started it. Well, when we started our plants in the spring, we just kept all our cans from our vegetables in the house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she planted 150 cans of corn. And this lady thought she was crazy. But you take cut off both ends, you know, make this, the water made these little flats, and then we just fill them up with dirt. And then when you got ready to plant, you just slip them right out.
Push them on.
We laughed about that for years.
150 cans of corn. Huh? Oh, jeez.
Happened to be, that's what she planted them in.
Did you expect, and did Walter and Dorothy expect to do any amount of farming? Was that
They raised potatoes, great big fields of them. They had 20 acres in potatoes. And then we had cleared over here, and then Harold cleared down here. They had that potato, what you call it, co-op.
Co-op. I wondered if you belonged to that.
We used to go in there and sort
right.
of. Mm-hmm. And it kind of fell by the wayside because of potato wars that people kind of, John Holmes and Henry Gettinger began to undercut potato prices, and they got them down. I mean, we were selling them like for 10, 12 cents a pound then, and they got it down to like 2, 3 cents a pound, and everybody in the co-op, you know, we couldn't compete with us, and they kind of run us all out of business. And also, Gettinger made himself the inspector.
Aww.
So we would get an order for, like, Dorothy, I helped her. I mean, we did everything together. We get an order for, like, a ton of potatoes, and we sort them all out, and then we would say, okay, we'll have you ready, come out, and we had to inspect them. So then he would come and inspect them for a week or so, or maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and we didn't have any place to keep them after we brought them out, you know, where he was going to pick them up. So they'd sit outdoors for a while, and he'd never show up, and then he'd get into them, and he'd find something maybe a little, I mean, yeah, they had to be exactly, I mean, we even cut holes and stuff to make them, and he'd say, well, there's a little shrinkage. Well, he'd find a couple that way and just blackball the whole thing. So we'd have to dump all the sacks out and do it all over again. So Walter decided it was just too tough. And of course then he Holmes's, they kind of competed against each other until it was, you know, finally who ran who out of business there. But it was very disheartening.
Yeah, we had heard a little something about that.
Well, Harold cleared this field down here, and we went in full time then with him on. With that one winter, we had 60 tons. And we built the, carved out the hillside and put logs over the top, made a root cellar that way. And then Beatrice and I spent the whole winter for a couple of years in that. We got so dumb and flap happy. We'd go down every morning at about 9 o'clock and put the kids off to school, and then we'd come out about 4 o'clock.
We were sorting or what?
Sorting, washing. We sold them down at the Delta in 10-pound bags.
Hmm.
Sometimes 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of work. And then Walter had, you know, that field over there, which they hired, you know, pickers, because the kids, all of us, worked that. But they had beautiful potatoes, just gorgeous. One time he had this beautiful summer, and the rain was just right, and that whole field was so. He decided to go sheep hunting. He had a chance with Bob Busby to go out and go sheep hunting. So he goes off sheep hunting, and he didn't come back, and it began. They got into storms over there in the mountains, and they left him up on some mountain. They couldn't come back and pick him up. So Dorothy finally had to go into the co-op and got pickers, you know. And so we all started picking, and here about after after 5 or 6 days we'd been working, he finally got home. But there were so many potatoes. I mean, like, I think you could count 32, 35 spuds, and they'd be all just beautiful, nice potatoes. It would just tumble out, and you'd walk, you know, from here to there, and you'd have a sack of potatoes. Oh, well, we just had.
What kind of potatoes were you doing?
Well, we got them from Frank Betcher to start with. And he had some that he brought from Russia, or somebody sent him from Russia, and they were big and clean, and they didn't have real deep eyes.
Mm-hmm. And were they dry, relatively
fairly
dry?
Good. They were very good tasting. So I don't know what Tilly was the last one. Lee might still have some of it, because we all got cuttings off it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun to find out if there's still some of those potatoes left that are being eyed, you know, seed potatoes.
I know there's some of that wheat left, because Maddie's got a quonset over there, and there's a quart of wheat sitting over there that Kim offered in the fair. Still sitting there. It's probably
still
Oh, yes.
Is that what you do with it?
Well, that's the fun of it, though, is to throw it back.
But all that potato digging, I mean, you'd start, and you'd have to go, you know, we had a regular digger, and you'd go up, follow it up the row, and you had your pockets all full of sacks, and you'd get them as full as you could, and then you had to lift them up on the trucks. And they had to take them and dump them in the cellar. And then we had to wash them and sort them, and, you know, everything.
Where were you getting the water for washing?
Maybe by then we drilled the well in 57, so that maybe was our own water. And then Dorothy and Walter had a well too by then.
Before you got your wells, where were you getting the water?
Snow water in Steel Creek. Go down and chop a hole in the ice. That's where Carl and I got the water.
Do you know where Steel Creek is named from?
There was a man that was worked with Department of Transportation. His name was Steele.
Okay, you're the first person that has known where it came from.
It's in a book?
I think I've seen that in a book somewhere. I've got a lot of old Alaskan books. But
so this would have been
his name was Steele. Like Richardson, that was named after.
Yeah, well, that was Colonel Richardson or some. Yeah, he was.
Do you have any books about the area? We know there's Bert Stemple's book out here. Are there other books that were written about out in this part that you
guess
recall?
Not that I know of. Unless I don't have any.
What do you remember about Harold and George had a dealership for a while?
Yeah,
Oliver
Tractors.
Yeah.
George went into it a little bit, and it didn't. Well, people didn't have money to buy cars, and there were a lot of people like down at Delta, places that needed equipment, but nobody had the money to make their payments.
Frank Fassler had one, apparently. Uh-huh. He must have been a customer.
Uh-huh.
Well, in Stubbings, unless he bought a second hand.
Carl had a couple of them.
Yeah.
And there was a guy down at Chalk Creek that has one.
How did they get those cats up here?
Oh, they shipped them up on the train, I imagine. Train and boat.
Did you know
it was a pretty, when we came into Fairbanks, it was a big town. It was enterprising. I mean, there was houses all over, nice houses.
This was because of the war?
Yeah, you know, there was dirt streets and stuff, but no, it's because of the gold mining.
Yes,
gosh, and there was fancy people, doctors and mayors. And
any idea what the population was? How far out did the houses?
Well, downtown is just gone from what it used to be. There's just nothing left down there. I mean, it was busy. I mean, the streets were lined with houses.
When did the houses quit going away from the river? How far out? 10th Street?
Probably, 9th, 10th, right there, and then got to Weeks Field. And it wasn't too much.
But up and down the river.
And on the base. Mm-hmm. Lab Field, it was called then, and that was the bunker on one side. And then the military had taken up the land right up to where Walter's homestead, so that's all Fort Wainwright, right up to
Did you know Frank Fassler?
Yeah, he came and cut wood for us.
He was what, a little bit of a hunchback?
He was a lot of a hunchback. He was from Switzerland, neat man, just as nice as could be. Really nice guy. He did, baked his own bread, took care of himself, built a nice little tidy cabin. I used to walk up there, and the floor would be swept, and his doorstep swept, and he cleaned his clothes, and he was a very clean man.
Most of the bachelors.
He didn't drink or smoke, but we had him one time. We cleared that upper field, and he came and cut the wood. I hauled a lot of it to the, he cut it in length, and then we had a little trailer and an old Jeep, and I hauled it down to the wood piles.
He had a little sawmill of some kind, Lee or somebody said.
Yeah.
You don't remember that particularly?
No, I don't.
Oh, Lee said the sawmill that was out of Ackerman's was Frank's.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that one.
I just vaguely remember the Ackermans. They must not have been out there too much after we moved out here.
Well, yeah, I think they weren't out very long, probably.
At all.
Four or 5 years. That old guy that was kind of crazy, tried to blow up the highway. Let me think, what was his name?
Yes.
He lived down Steel Creek, but he
Denton?
Went. Denton, yeah.
Very
he
Denton.
Was a character.
What's the
he just didn't want Progress to come in, and he had a place out. Ackerman probably was his cabin, and he decided. Did he have a little cat? Bulldozed up the road so nobody could go that way. And then he'd come out with his gun and say, "You can't go any further." He was a small little. He was a small person. Then Carl helped him and moved down to Steel Creek, and then he started silent closing the road off there.
Don was talking about him shooting at people as they come across the creek. What about Workman's? When did they come
along? The dad?
I guess.
Was the first one in there. And
what was his first name?
Dave. David. Or Joe. One was Joe and one was
Dave. That's what I don't remember.
Dave, I think. Nice old man. He used to come down to Tilly's, and I used to go over there a lot, and we'd have coffee and walk down.
Well, now, I remember Mr. and Mrs. Workman. Was this
that was his son. And
Okay. So maybe I never. Oh, I do remember a very old man.
When I worked at the hospital, he came in there and broke his hip when he died. That was in 79. Then so when we lived down at Carl's, the only ones out here was Denton and Tilly and Hank and the guy over at Phil, that had Phyllis over there. Let me think.
Bonet?
No. The old man. He was from Lorraine or France, in France. How do you say that word? Alsace Lorraine.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's time to get out the map, because I bet you his name will be on it. This is a 53.
He'd been a baker in Europe, I guess.
Oh,
in France,
I want to
Germany.
Who he was.
He had huge hands. He was a big guy, and he dressed in, he had a black suit, and he had a big black hat with a big crown on it.
I'm not stealing your coffee, but it's cold anyway. We'll bring it back. Okay, here we are out in this area. Here's Walt. Here's you.
No, he'd be gone off this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean he'd be gone?
Well, he.
The road, they showed
already,
the road coming
he
out
had
here.
This homestead. Let me see.
Here's Bonet. Here's McQuinn.
Stubbings, where am I? Bob Strait. No, he's.
There's Earl.
He would have had this one right in. Oh, sure. Adolph.
Oh,
Scher.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, he had that place there.
So he was the one that was the baker?
Uh huh.
And then from the Alsace Lorraine?
And he had a little cabin and a clearing, and he was another one. He just did all sorts of stuff. Saturday was his bake day, so mm-hmm. he used to say, come over Saturday. And he'd mm-hmm. just have the table full of rolls of bakery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'd visit and have coffee, and then he'd send us home with Swiss cinnamon rolls and a fresh loaf of bread. And
what big a place did he have to do
just
all
just have a little cabin, huh.
just a small cabin.
Was anybody out here milling any of the wheat? You say Maddie had wheat. What did they do with this wheat? Was anyone milling it?
Well, she just had a jarful, didn't she?
No, they had a little patch of it. They grew wheat in that one field. I suppose they ground it up. I don't really remember what they did with it. Probably got it from Frank Thatcher.
Well, Bob Strait.
But Adolph had some idea that he was kind of interested in gold mining, so he'd get all done in the fall and get his garden all tended to, and then he'd take off for the hills, probably right over where Fort Knox is.
Huh?
He had a, but he never told anybody where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
He'd go over there and pan gold.
This is 1953, which was before, when did you move out? See, here you are. Well, you were here.
Mm-hmm.
At least the land was in your name.
Walter did got out before. Well, I don't know if George was out before him, because we didn't get approved up on enough to get that, you know, without having to clear
mm-hmm.
land.
Well, anyway, Bob, did you know him?
Uh-huh.
He must have. He must have known anybody that was out here.
Yeah.
Rydell's were out here. Mm-hmm. Here.
Not this guy. John
Pennant.
Pennant. Let me see. Where would he be?
Well, here's Henry.
He's down there in the swamp.
Yeah, it would have been, because Nordale comes right sort of in there.
So this is what we call the sun-drenched hillside over there.
No, this is on
this side of Chino.
Oh, this side.
Road.
Yeah.
Okay. There's Earl.
Dave must have bought from McQuinn, you know?
I guess.
Because they must have been right in there. Here's your sun-drenched hillside.
Okay.
Right over here where
so then Nordale would, runs right in here.
Nordale would come right down here. See, here's Henry Bachman, and it starts right
there. Oh, yeah, and you drawn it in there.
Yes, because then it's up, there's some land between, so
mm-hmm.
that you see it over there.
Do you know who this Wilson was?
No, Wilson. Not really. I guess that was after.
Well, some of these people probably never lived out here. They probably just
Bob McQuinn.
Mm-hmm.
He was a character. Everybody was characters.
Well, it helped.
Berkey's. Yeah, that's where Lee Risby
mm-hmm.
is now.
Mm-hmm.
And
John
Clark. Is he Phillips?
No, I don't think so. Murray Clark. No, that Phillips wouldn't have been. Phillips wasn't born
Nels
yet.
Jackson. Nels.
Who was he?
Nels Jackson, yeah, that's his last name, yeah. And Bernard O'Leary, they were an old-time family. There was an article in the paper not too long ago about their trucking business with the O'Learys, and they had that. But they used to go out there and get wood and take it to town off that hillside. But they had a horse and a big wagon, One time I was out hiking and I met them. They killed a moose and they had a load of wood and this horse pulling them to town, and they had a moose they were just dragging along behind because when he placed it, gross.
Yeah.
But the O'Leary family is real old in Fairbanks.
Yeah, Don mentioned them too.
This, I went to school with the boy, George. Oh.
Now look, is this where Betcher was by any chance?
Yeah, that could be it.
But see, this is a different name. Does that name mean anything to you?
Isn't that Betcher?
No, it's either
it should be Betcher.
Oh, you think that's just a misspelling?
Yeah, that's
okay.
The way he spelled it, except
that's
with a V.
So, Rudy filed around him on this.
Well, this,
right?
He took what was left after that was given to that doctor.
That
was right there.
And Rudy sold, what, an 80 to Severance?
I guess.
Something like that. Well, we'll ask them.
Who was the other guy that got the other, that guy that they had a restaurant in Gavora Mall, his mother did? What was her name?
That took the rest of Rudy?
That had the yellow house over there.